Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1309. The topic is training and the title is Client Program Comparisons. So we've done a couple of these before. We actually got really good feedback. People seem to like kind of seeing the similarities and differences of people with different goals, and it just kind of helps you then know of what you hear, what can you steal and use for yourself. So the programs we're going to compare today are going to be three. We have a female who's a personal trainer. She's competed in powerlifting. We actually worked together from her first ever powerlifting meet all the way to an elite total. And she is actually competing in the Scots Firefighter Challenge, which is a world championship, kind of like firefighting skills and like a physical challenge. She won the world championship last year. She's going for it again this year. She just won a regionals first place. So she's kicking butt, having fun. So that's one of our clients. Another one is a female looking to, she's not a trainer, just kind of a non-trainer person, so quote-unquote regular person, but she is not a trainer. She's recovering from a foot, kind of like an ankle injury, and she wanted strength training to help towards her running and just regular quality of life. And then we're also doing fat loss through nutrition. So with all these people, we do nutritional component as well as training components of our like service and programming. The third person is a male. He has suffered enormous amounts of injuries from a motorcycle crash, and he had a bajillion surgeries. I think it's been a year or so since his crash, and we just started working together now. He said he's up and moving. He's ready to go, but he has an enormous amount of physical limitations due to the crash. So while he was recovering, he wanted to learn more about fitness and stuff and got super excited about it. He is uber passionate, tons of mental strength. He wants to recover from the injuries but also look freaking awesome. And he's going to definitely be able to use his story to motivate others. And if he's not a trainer right now, but he's definitely going to want to be one, probably because he's gonna look freaking amazing. He's going to be able to motivate other people and then show like what is possible. And since he is learning more and more along the way, it'll be hard for him not to want to share some knowledge and motivation throughout the process with other people. So those are the three programs we're looking at. I try when I do these comparisons to people who are not the same, so that way it does give us a little bit of variance between the programs. But the first one we said was female powerlifter, also a personal trainer, and she's competing in the Scots Firefighter Challenge. So if we look at her programming, we have her workouts are split into upper body, lower body, upper body, lower body. So we do four workouts a week in the gym. And then she's also doing some extra kind of like event style training for the competition. She does that a little bit outside of her workouts, maybe on a fifth day, maybe a little bit of extra work on one of the days. Like if it's an upper body based day, maybe she'll still go out and do some a little bit of lower body stuff compared like specific to the competition. She kind of adds some things in between here and there. When I work with clients who are also personal trainers, which is actually over half the people I work with, they're personal trainers. They already know a lot. So there's a lot of freedom within their programming that we talk about, and you know, I'm aware of what they're doing, but not everything has to be specific. And then sometimes we actually just write based on categories, and I have them select from different things or kind of have their own components. I might have, you know, the trainer write their own one of their workouts the week. We talk about the pros and cons of it. So there's tons of educational aspects along the way if they have the mental space for it. Sometimes they're having me do their programming because they're so damn busy doing everybody else's programming, they can't take care of themselves. So that's why I'm working with them. So there's a lot of variation between the personal trainers I work with to the types and depth of service that we do. So since we have an upper body, lower body, and since she is a power lifter, we do have like some bench press in there. So for example, her first workout of the week is the lower body workout, and that would be, we start with hip mobility. She has she has narrow hips, and she moves very forward backward. And that's a very weird way of saying that, except for like, the mobility for her to like externally rotate her hips is limited compared to some of the other people I've worked with in different body types. She just squats with her feet pretty much hip width, and it folds her over quite a bit, but it gets her to parallel, keeps her nice and strong. She used to have a ton of hip injuries and hip issues before we ever met, and that was part of why she reached out and had me help her, was because she was having all that hip pain, and fitness was something she loved, and it was like, oh gosh, you know, if I can't do this, what am I going to do? So we started working together. So one of the things we do is we always do some type of hip mobility things to get her kind of warmed up in the lower body movements, workouts. So we start with kind of hip rotational things, things that kind of get her internal, external rotation warmed up for the day. And that helps to kind of create more freedom of movement around the hip socket. And then she feels less pull on her lower back, less pull on her hips when she does her heavier lifts. So we do that to kind of get warmed up. I'm always throwing in new ones and weird ones because that way she can learn them and then show her clients if she likes some of them. We always have some type of newness or like experimentation fun aspect in the programming so that we're not always just doing the same things. So all these people's programs we renew every 4 weeks. So they're getting brand new exercises, all new things every 4 weeks. Keeps it exciting. She then goes into dumbbell walking lunges with an uneven carry, meaning she's just going to carry one dumbbell on her side. And then she does dumbbell one arm overhead hold squats. So the idea of this is in her upcoming event, she was going to have to like drag a dummy. She had to carry like a hose on one side of her body. There was a lot of odd loading to the body. So we wanted to really work on her stabilization of her core and the pretty much anti-movement. We didn't want her to have flexion or extension in her trunk or muscles, core muscles, if she didn't want it. We didn't want her to be twisted by a weight if she didn't want it. So we actually had to fight against movement. So the walking lunges was a great way to work on unilateral development of the hips and the leg muscles, but the uneven carry helped to activate that anti-movement aspect to the core. Just like dumbbell one-arm overhead hold squats, again, it works the hips, it works her lower body, which is the point of the day, but a dumbbell one-arm overhead hold, you have a lot of core stability, even a lot of shoulder stability to kind of do that movement. I then had her doing a barbell Jefferson squat, which is a very weird, fun variation of a deadlift, actually. And the idea of it was it helped her, again, with kind of odd loading positions, and it helped her to brace and stabilize herself against heavier forces. Then we had barbell front squat, which, again, involves bracing but involves the legs. So her core was getting rocked through this, but she's very physically fit, six-pack abs and everything. So she can handle this. Then we did conventional deadlift with an elevated weights, so she didn't have to hinge over as far, so it made it more legs and less lower back. Especially since we already did a lot of core stabilization, the lower back would have started to get tired by the end of the workout. So if we elevate the weight a little bit, it shortens the range of motion. She doesn't have to bend her torso, like angle her torso as far forward to get to the bar. So it still involved a lot of leg strength, but it started to pull back on some of that core stress since it's at the end of the workout. Then she paired that with dumbbell single leg stiff leg deadlifts into knee raise and upright row. This is just an odd movement that gets you used to kind of pulling something from the floor up to your shoulders. And this again is kind of her getting used to dragging the body that she'll have to drag in the event. Just getting her whole posterior chain active and braced and working together to kind of hold her and stabilize her position. But also be like hip driven movement rather than like using her lower back for everything. So the exercises in the order there, we did a lot of hip mobility, a lot of movement preparation. We prepared her to move well, and that's a really good thing to do in every workout. We then did some like smaller movements, the walking lunges, the overhead one-arm squats, Jefferson squat. Front squat's not a small movement, but it is compared to where the end she got conventional deadlifts. So the idea of doing all the small things first was it limited how much weight she'd be able to use on the conventional deadlift, which limited how much connective tissue stress that she experienced from the train, from that exercise, and it would actually reduce the amount of central nervous system exhaustion so she could recover faster between workouts. So by reducing the joint stress, connective tissue stress, by reducing the CNS stress, by reducing the overall weight load of that movement by having it at the end, it allowed us to still get a strength-based stimulus to maintain the strength we need for powerlifting, but it allowed for us to recover faster and feel less beat up from our training leading into the firefighter challenge. So it's very important, the placement of where you put heaviest things. It makes a huge difference in recoverability and huge difference in collateral damage, like what tissues you annoy along with the ones you really want to annoy. So that's a huge component. So that's kind of like what one of her workouts was. The other lower body workout, we had the same thing where we do like hip-based movements, kind of get her prepared to move. She then had kind of smaller movements for her, which was a weight plate balanced Kozak squat. If you don't know what any of these are, you can just kind of YouTube them or email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com and I'll send you the program so you can see it. So in all of our programs, we have tutorial links with every single exercise I give them has a video link so they can see how it's done. But it's kind of like a weird side-to-side movement. And then she had sumo deadlifts. Since she's not strong in an externally rotated position of her hips, the sumo deadlifts aren't going to be very heavy. It's not her, when she competes in powerlifting, we compete conventional. So the sumo is good to work her hips, but I know it's not going to be a maximal load on the hips. She then does dumbbell goblet hold alternating curtsy lunges, which is just a good way to kind of work a little bit on unilateral development of the hips, bracing and support of the hips from one to the other. We have a barbell lateral lunge, which is actually a pretty wicked exercise, but it's really good for core, really, really, really good for hip development. And then she does leg press feet low and narrow, which is a lot of quad work. So that second day, you can see, is a lot of side-to-side based movements, really working on improving her hip strength and health and positional stability in an externally rotated position when her feet are wider than her hips, wider than her shoulders. So we're doing that for overall hip strength development to address the old hip injury that she had. Also then just to not make her limited to only narrower movements. We just want her to be physically fit and have fun and be able to move in a lot of different ways. And it's just overall aesthetic development as well. So it's really cool blend. Upper body, I won't go through all those workouts because it's going to take too long. But again, it's something that prepares you for movement. We focus a lot on scapular mobility and proper rotational ability of the shoulders on every client I ever work with. That's something we focus on all the time. So I have a corrective exercise specialist certification, which is a fancy way of saying I write programs that don't mess you up. So well, I want you to get bigger muscles. I want you to get stronger. I want you to get whatever your goals are, but I don't want you to feel beat up from it. So one of the things I'll hear often is when I'm working with people is they say, oh man, I don't feel as beat up from the training as I used to. You know, so if they used to do CrossFit, if they used to do like bodybuilding and the bro splits and whatever other craziness they did, or just powerlifting where they went into the gym, tried to squat super heavy, BS with some friends and leave. There's a lot of like small annoyances that would happen in training. Whereas now with proper kind of preparation to each workout, proper movement preparation, they don't feel a lot of those negative small like annoyances. So that's great. Then with that, in the upper body workouts, we always have push and pull components. We always do a little bit more of pulling components, like for the back of the body, than we do for the front. And that just helps to make sure that our shoulders and the upper body mechanics stay balanced over time. So that is her program. So again, that's 4 workouts per week. She's doing a little bit of additional stuff outside of the workouts to work on conditioning and event-specific stuff for the upcoming firefighter challenge. But it's kind of fun just to kind of see what she does. Upper body, lower body splits 4 days a week. That has allowed her to go from first ever powerlifting competition all the way to elite total. It's allowed her to become a world champion of the firefighter challenging thing. So it's pretty cool. Really fun stuff. Now, if we go on to the second client, who was the runner who had a foot and ankle injury, they want to lose some weight, they just want to get strength back. So for them, we're looking at 2 resistance training workouts a week. and they're full body. So she's only going to have to go to the gym twice a week. And we're also giving her a body weight training, just body weight alone, strength-based workout once a week. So she's going to be working on strength three times a week. Now, that's full body strength-based three times a week. That sounds like it might be too much. The caveat here, or the thing to kind of acknowledge, is since she's more so a runner, she isn't very strong. Now, no offense to the client, but it's not like I'm working with somebody who can, you know, deadlift and squat 300 plus pounds. We're not going to be wanting to train the full body and have them squatting three times a week. You know, that's way too much damage to the body. Whereas if a person is, you know, they're doing dumbbell goblet squats and they can use a 30-pound dumbbell and that's the best for them, that's a lot less wear and tear on the body than a 300-pound squat, right? So the person with less wear and tear per workout recovers faster between workouts and therefore can work out more often. But if you notice, she's not doing like six workouts a week. We're only doing three, but we're doing the full body each of the times. So she's working out more often in the sense of muscles targeted per week, like how frequent the muscles are targeted per week. But she's not in the gym forever. And it's also because she doesn't need to be, and it's not her goal. Like, she doesn't want to be, you know, world champion powerlifter. She doesn't care how much she lifts. She just wants to lift heavy enough to feel safe and strong when she runs and, like, doing things around the house. So that's what her structure is two times in the gym, one time at home. Now, with her programming and everybody's programming, we have stuff that tells them like how to warm up each exercise, why the rest times that are written in are so important, why you need to keep to them, how do you select the right weight, how do you make progressions from week to week. We even offer technique reviews for videos if they want to submit videos. Some of the people I force them to, and then some of the people it's just by choice if they want to send me a video if they think, you know, they're not sure if they're doing it right or not. And then, as we said, every single exercise has a tutorial video with it as well. So for her, what we do is, again, kind of at the beginning of the workout, we work on trying to open up range of motion. We try to get the body moving freely and openly and moving with correct mechanics. So just like with the firefighter powerlifter, this client as well, and the next one, you'll see we focus a lot on just kind of getting the body moving correctly before we get into our heavier exercises. So that's very important. So she does what's called a hip airplane. There's a variation I have her doing. This just works for internal, external rotation of the hip, range of motion availability. And then she does body weight, single leg, stiff leg deadlift into knee raise. So this is just, again, kind of balancing on one leg, reaching down to touch the floor, and then standing back upright, driving the leg that you're not balancing on, bringing the knee out in front of you. A lot of ankle stability here. So since she does have the foot and ankle injury, the hip airplane and the body weight single leg stiff leg deadlift into knee raise involve stabilizing and bracing on one leg. So that's going to get a lot of the small muscles around the ankle and the foot to fire and give them some challenge and stress that they can work to get stronger over time. Those two movements are paired with what's called a body weight side lunge drop, which is just a weird little variation of doing repetitive side lunges to one side and then to the other side, but you keep your feet down. So you're just kind of sitting into the hip, standing back up, sitting into the hip, standing back up. And that helps just open up tight glute musculature, helps open up the adductors, really helps open up kind of lateral movement, side-to-side movement of the hips. So that way she's kind of up and moving and ready to go. Then we go into a circuit where she does alternating lunge with dumbbell rotation. So she holds a kind of a dumbbell with her arms bent at 90 degrees in front of her. She lunges out like with her left foot and then rotates to the left. Then she stands back up. She lunges out with her right foot and then rotates to her right. So this gets the lower body stabilization and strength. It gets core stabilization and strength. So it is going to involve her upper body just supporting the dumbbell and her core supporting the rotation and balance, and then the lower body having to support and do the lunging. We have that paired with a plank with thoracic rotations, good shoulder stability, and also kind of upper body positioning and bracing and range of motion. So really good for kind of posture work. And then we go into the main circuit where she has a kettlebell hand pass and single leg stiff leg deadlift hold. So it's kind of like you're balancing on one leg, you're bending over like you're doing a single leg stiff leg deadlift, but instead of holding the weight in, like, say, your right hand, you're going to pass it back and forth from right hand to left hand to right hand to left hand, slowly, not as fast as I'm saying it. But that's, again, more a lot of stability and bracing, and that's going to, again, help strengthen that foot and ankle injury. We then go to a dumbbell goblet hold alternating forward lunges. Again, a ton of stability work, kind of ton of strengthening work. This is getting her used to unilateral movements, a lot of internal hip stability and bracing, a lot of good stuff. Then we have planks, side-to-side touch planks, and this again gets her upper body going, gets a lot of shoulder stability, shoulder strength, postural work, so we improve her running mechanics, and then she rolls over and does glute bridge march, which is good for glute strengthening, hamstring strengthening, just good for strengthening everything around the hips. So this is going to help posture of the hips, help posture of the shoulders, strengthening of the core, strengthening the ankles and knees, tons of good stuff, a lot of good stuff there, especially for somebody who runs. Then her second full body workouts, similar thing. So something that gets her up and moving, some balancing stuff, some strengthening stuff. So it's just a nice blend of full body working on all of those elements. Then the body weight workout is like a side-to-side lunge, split squats, what's called a swing-through jump, which is works on kind of ankle and knee and hip balance and kind of coordinational work to create a hip drive to get the knee raise jump into it. And that's something that, you know, she'll have to play with the height of that to see, like, as her foot has been feeling better, we can start to kind of pick on it a little bit. And that's something that's going to work on kind of getting what's called triple extension from her hip to knee to her ankle and start to kind of work on like the mechanics of letting her do a longer stride. So in our journal that her and I talk back and forth with every week, we've talked about the benefits of a longer stride to change the impact pressure on her foot, and that's been helping a lot. And then with nutritional control, we're eating enough calories, enough protein now to where she is repairing and healing the tissue rather than just beating the crap out of the tissue. Then the second circuit is plank variations and core work. So tons of good stuff there for postural and movement mechanics, as well as strengthening of specific tissues related to the injury, but also all the tissues of the body. So that's cool. So that's her program. The third one we're going to look at is the guy who is recovering from the motorcycle crash. A million and one things we got to work through, but it's all good stuff, all fun stuff. So for him, we have five workouts a week, and that's going to help him kind of maximize his time in the gym and, you know, how proactive he can be, but still include enough recovery that he's actually building tissues. So one of the things to remember is when you're in the gym, you're creating a stimulus for change. It's how you eat, how you sleep, it's what you do outside of the gym that actually creates that change, that change comes to fruition. So you can't build bigger muscles while you're in the gym. You promote the need for bigger muscles in the gym, but you build them outside of the gym. So for him, he had talked about doing before, like the bro split, like, you know, chest on Monday, back on Tuesday, legs on Wednesday, shoulders on Thursday, arms on Friday. We cut that up. We're not doing that anymore. So we're doing upper body, lower body, and alternating that throughout the week. But the first upper body is kind of a chest and back focus. The second upper body is shoulders and arms. And then the third upper body is a little bit of everything. And the idea of that, it gets us training our tissues more frequently. And since he is recovering from the motorcycle injury, he's lost a lot of muscle tissue. He's still working his way back to being able to eat like a full, healthy way. So he's going to be very limited in his ability to create tissue damage in his workouts. So therefore, we can train way more often than you typically would because each workout isn't digging him so far down in recovery. So we can train more often. So that's important to know, that as he's building new tissue coming from the point of having lost a lot of muscle, when he's working on re-eating back to normal foods, when he's coming from eating too few of calories, that if we add more frequency, we can actually get faster results because we're not sitting around wasting time in between workouts. Okay, So his upper body workout, chest and back, he starts with, it's actually kind of cool. He's in the UK, and the gym that he's in has a virtual tour. So I got to actually look in the gym to see all the different equipment they have, so that way I could write everything specific to him. So for example, they have a chest fly and reverse fly machine. Not all gyms actually have that. So I have him starting out with chest flies and reverse flies, kind of really get the chest opened up, get the back of the shoulders warmed up, get kind of proper muscular tightness balance around his shoulder joints so that we can correct his posture over time, and then also just ensure that his shoulders are going to stay healthy. He then goes to machine-assisted pull-ups and dips, which are big, complex movements, but it's going to be great to kind of target a whole, like pretty much going to target his whole upper body in two movements. And then starting with it being assisted when he's relatively fresh, this is something I'm going to use as to track his strength progression. So over time, we eventually want to be doing, you know, body weight dips and pull-ups, and then eventually weighted dips and pull-ups. Then we go to chest press machine. Since he's in the commercial gym, he has to, you know, share the gym with other people. So we're not going to be able to, like, circuit a bunch of movements together. So the assisted dips and pull-ups is on the same machine. We then go to the chest press machine, and he has, like, a weird technique on how to get a lot of work in a short period of time. It's, like, descending rep counts with shortened rest periods. It's a pretty cool technique. Then he goes to machine chest supported upright row, and they have that in the gym. And then we finish with cable crossovers and scapular retraction pull-ups, which is going to help to kind of rebuild the musculature of the mid-back and really help with back density, not only width. So a lot of times when people are looking for aesthetics, especially males looking for aesthetics of the upper back, don't focus so damn much on the width, focus on depth. The width will come over time easily, the depth does not always. So we work on a lot of muscular depth to the back, and it just makes the back look really well developed when there's a lot of muscles and bumps to it. So that is his first workout. Then, like we said, he comes in and does lower body and core. I'll talk about that in a second. His second upper body workout is the shoulders and arms. So they have ski ergs, concept 2 ski ergs in his, like, kind of functional area of his gym. So I have him doing some regular actual, like, CrossFit use of the ski ergs. Then he also does reverse flies. Sometimes we do tricep press downs and warm up the elbows. Then he's going to do dumbbell seated lateral raises into standing lateral raises, and then dumbbell 21s with bicep curls. Great way to kind of get the shoulders and arms warmed up. Then dumbbell skull crushers into dumbbell standing alternating hammer curls. Two very heavy variations of arm work to get more of that muscle damage that we're looking for. And then he goes to machine overhead press with a weird technique, and then machine bicep curls with a weird technique. And then he has kind of multiple rep short rest back and forth with like tricep press downs. So it's a cool way you can see now is these are arm isolations, so arm specific movements, and we're trying to create this in structures that target, you know, everything we want. But how do we do that in a commercial gym when we have to balance space and, you know, equipment use? And then a lot of this stuff is supported by itself. So if you notice, we're doing a machine overhead press rather than like a barbell clean and press. If he's coming back from injuries and he's a lot of leg issues, I don't want him standing on his legs trying to get an upper body movement. We wanted to eliminate some of the leg limitations so we can maximize the upper body. So that's very important to kind of consider. Now the lower body stuff, we know that that's where the majority of his issues are from his crash. So we have to be very kind of like basic at first in regards to what movements we select. And I have to take some time to kind of learn what his capabilities are. So we start with actually machine adductor, abductor, kind of work on the hips. Since he's been, you know, bedbound for a while, probably has very limited and very tight internal external rotations. We got to work on that. And that's going to help us not only develop the lower body better, strengthen the lower body better for better walking, better balance control, but it's also going to improve kind of the freedom of movement he has within his lower back. So he doesn't feel a lot of lower back pumps or a lot of lower back pain as he starts back into exercise. Now, machine leg extensions, we have a weird fun technique on that. Lying leg curl machine, we have like fun techniques on that. Then I have him doing a trap bar deadlift. At first, he might only be able to deadlift the bar. I have no clue. We just got to see what his mechanics are doing that, like hinging at the hips, kind of getting a balance between his knee involvement and hip involvement, but that's going to be something, again, that we can track progression of strength on, like I had with dips and pull-ups in the upper body. And then I have him pairing that with just bodyweight squats. A trap bar deadlifts, you don't really get as much of a knee bend as much as you get a hip bend, so I have him doing bodyweight squat to balance it out, to kind of get more of the knee bend and less of the hip bend, so it balances those joints out. Then we do kind of captain's chair leg raises with bent knees, and then cable wood choppers. The captain's chair is right on the other side of a cable station, so that's a lot of core work. We have, kind of flexion extension, but also rotation, so it's a good kind of blend of everything. And then his lower body, second lower body workout of the week, same kind of thing, kind of working on warming up the hips, kind of get the body movement. They have an echo bike, for example, at his gym, so I have him doing like a minute where he does only his legs, a minute where he does only his arms, so kind of getting the whole body warmed up. And then we go through a bunch of other fun variations of things. So that's his workout, is 5 workouts per week. And we're kind of working within the limitations of what that place has. They have really good equipment. It's just you have to share the equipment, so which is a little bit different than, for example, the clients I wrote programming for at my gym. Our gym is set up to superset things and do things as circuits. So it just kind of depends on the environment you're in will dictate some of your programming as well. So kind of fun to see with all of the people we focus on healthy movement patterns, balancing the musculature tightnesses and strengths around the joints. That's very good. We're very strategic about where we put our heaviest things. So a lot of it is, I don't know. It's kind of interesting in a sense for me, is my ability to write programs has evolved over time, that you start to kind of lose track of what you're doing automatically versus like what you want to teach somebody. So a lot of the personal trainers I work with all the time, we talk about program comparison, we talk about all these elements, and it's helpful then to kind of learn, once you know all the basics of how to write a program, how do you do all the little tweaks and variations for people? So for example, knowing that this last person, he's wanting to train, like he loves training, he wants to train, he wants to be in the gym all the time. So we have 5 workouts that week, per week. Whereas the other person, the runner, they just want enough strength to not get hurt again, so they're only in the gym 2 times a week. The other one, the firefighter powerlifter, she's in the gym 4 times a week because we know she's probably going to do a 5th time, like out of the gym and be active. So really it's trying to say, okay, how often does this person need to work in the gym for their goals versus can they do some of this stuff at home to just save them the wear and tear and the time and the annoyance of having to go to a gym. There's a lot of variation to just even how many days a program should have, and knowing that is in its own self a challenge over time to learn. But I hope that there are some pros and cons here, some goods and bads, some things you can take away and implement in. Actually, hopefully there was no bads. Go back to that statement. But hopefully there was some fun variations of how we rate programming and good information that you can kind of take and use for yourself. I wish everybody the best of luck. If you have a program that you wrote for yourself that you would like me to review, I'd be happy to do that as a podcast. I think we all could learn from that. I'll kind of say what the good stuff is, maybe what some of the suggestions of changes are. But if you want that, just reach out or email us, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'm always available to help. That's the whole point of the podcast. Okay, well, if you like our podcast, if you think it's helpful, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. That's the whole point. So thank you if you are sharing it. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean podcast platform. You can sign up to do a small monthly donation there or a one-time donation on our Instagram homepage. We have a link there as well. Podcast is well over $1,000 a year, so it helps to help cover the hosting costs with the donations. So thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Also, if you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.